Philippians chapter 4, commencing at verse 4 through to 13. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about everything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him. He gives me strength.
Let's just pause and pray and see what God will continue to speak to us today. I always look forward to the conversations after the times when we gather, to coffees and teas and texts and emails, as God actually does continue to stir things up in quite surprising ways. Let's just pray. Lord God, I really want to thank you for the everyone who has been in our minds today, for those who are here and those who are away, for those who have now gone to you. Lord, it is a privilege to be part of your family. It's a privilege to join in prayer. It's a privilege to gather in a place like this and to listen, not just with our ears, but to listen with our hearts and our spirit to what you are speaking. What you are speaking to us, what you are speaking to our families, what you are speaking to our circumstances, to our workplaces, to our schools, to our universities, to the nations of the world and to our own. We thank you, Lord, that you are active. We thank you, Lord, that you still speak every day. We're listening. Speak, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not sure how you guys go with the 21st century. It can be a pretty wild and crazy place. I don't know, you might be aware, some of you have actually lived, I know, for a long time, and you might realise that there was a time when change came very slowly. It was a long time before there was a new technology. Horses were fine for a long time. A simple cart was okay for a long time. And actually, I'm old enough to remember my grandfather still loading up the tray with horses to put the cans on to take off to the depot to deliver milk. I feel ancient when I share that memory. It wasn't for very long. Then he had, you know, the tanker would come and take the... But it's still in my memory. I still remember leaning into the warm flank of a cow on a crisp morning at, you know, 5 a.m., feeling the warmth as you're just milking by hand. I was only a little kid at the time. Some of you might have been 50 when you were doing that, I'm not sure. But change came slowly, but in this century, and certainly towards the end of last one after the Second World War, it is rapid. Things change all the time. I feel it with computer technologies. You know, I was happy with Microsoft Word about 10 years ago. Possibly longer. It did everything I needed. Every time there's an upgrade, I think, that's it, great. I have to spend another half hour, maybe, you know, more, working out how this version works, getting rid of the stuff that I don't need, the lines that I didn't need, the shadows that I didn't need, the new things I'll never use, and it drives me insane. And then last Sunday night, I held one of the new communion boxes up and held it there I don't know what I was doing. I think I held up all the time. Because on the side of the box, it says something like, and this is not verbatim, it says something like, new improved, outstanding new design to make it easier for you. And what I realised last Sunday morning is there are people sitting there thinking, I can't get this thing open. I mean, it was hard enough going from just the trays of the bread and the little cups. That was an easy world. And then suddenly with COVID, it was the sealed versions, and we understand the reasons, and we all sort of adapted to that. I still love the image that Beverly brought one morning last year around Easter time about when you've had communion. It reminds you of, you know, the empty tomb. That was a really helpful thing to me. But last week in the morning, I'm really struggling to get the thing open. I held up the box on Sunday night just saying, you know, sometimes we say the things of God are easy, but of course they're not. Now, even Paul in the reading today says, I have learned. It's not, I got up one morning and had a bright idea. It's not, somebody said to me and I understood it straight away. I have learned. I have dug deep. I have prayed hard. I have crawled on my hands and knees. I have been abused. I've been yelled at. I've been screamed at. I've been thrown into prison. I have learned how to be content in every circumstance and situation. It is not an easy thing. I want you to hold that. So I have learned about this. Last week I didn't understand. And when I had it in my hand today, I thought, oh, this is hard. Which side? Last week I massed the thing. I took off every conceivable part to try and get the bread. And that was a message to me, because I thought, you know, looking for the things of God, sometimes you've got to pull everything else apart just to get there, to get to where the nourishment and the nurture is going to be. But there is an easy way. And I wanted to share it with you because it will be helpful in the weeks to come. Did anybody else work out the easy way with this new, supposedly easier new design with the two tabs? Maureen, what's your... now, that's a handy hint. One side easily reveals the bread. The other side easily reveals the juice. And that's great. So we've now... Can we feel like we're learning? We've now advanced. We're almost opening something as simple as a communion. Did anybody else pick up the other great clue? That's true. One side is bread. One tab is for the juice. There's a little clue to work out which one is going to open the bread. Sorry? There's Frank. It's also Frank's birthday today. He is a year wiser. Frank, congratulations on your birthday. And also, thank you, because it's true. If you are even visually, you know, challenged, if you feel the top, and you can test this later or next week, it is true, there's a little raised dot. It's like a braille dot. That is for the bread. If you think braille, B, bread, that will lift and it will deliver you easily the bread. I find this somehow useful to me because, one, faith is not easy. Belief does not just fall out of the sky and suddenly, you know, you're full blown, I'm all the way with the Lord and that's how it is. It is, as Paul said earlier, and you know, it's about I have learnt. I have learnt what it is to be in need and yet still find God's sustaining power. I've learnt what it is to wonder seriously about what will tomorrow hold? What will it be? And yet to find that the rejoicing of the Lord is with me. And I don't know where you go with rejoicing. I mean, compared to some folks in the room, I would class myself as a young man still. But I know enough to know that I have such massive memories stacked away that I can find rejoicing memories easily. Meeting Chris, getting married, when children are born, a family home, a grandparent's residence, now long gone, bulldozed, but in my mind as crystal clear today, God willing, as long as those memories remain. And I can recall that and bring that forward. And it's my, I've now created a cathedral of worship and praise and gratefulness. Even when I sit with nothing, I can use where I have been. I also have found I can use the future that is coming. Because in the future that is coming, the presence of the Lord, there is, and I repeat this often because our world is so divided of them. There is no flag, there is no anthem, there is no language in the way that we would understand them. There is no preferred skin type. There, you know, all the things that we take for division, the kingdom of God says, there is none of that here. And there is no illness here, and there is no dying here, and there is no loss of vision here, and there are no ears that aren't working here, and there are no limbs that are broken here. Everything is whole and complete. This is my vision. So on the days when it seems like there is brokenness, I cast my mind forward and I think, come Lord Jesus, come, because there is the future that is also present somehow now that reminds me that rejoicing should be coming from my mouth more than complaining. Complaining is easy. Whining is second nature to probably most of us. I have my own whingy little life and I don't like it, but it is there. And when I stumble into it, it's back to Paul's words. You know, I have learnt that I could be content in this circumstance. How do I do it? Where is my rejoicing? Where is my gratitude? How do I unlock that? How do I move into it? So look, that's where I am this morning. That is the object lesson to take away. Finding gratitude and thanksgiving may be like opening up a communion container. Takes a while to learn how to actually walk with a sense of gratefulness and joy in a world that finds so many ways to tell you that you have nothing and that you are the least. And not only that, whatever you thought you had, it is disappearing and will be taken away. And so you want to cling to it even harder. You know, I want what I've got. But Jesus takes us on a different journey, and it's the journey I think that Paul really is wanting to encourage the Philippian church, and I think the Doncaster church with as well, because I'm amazed that in a rapidly changing century where adaptations happen almost every other day, I'm pretty sure Siri and AI are listening to everything I'm saying now. Thank you, she's so helpful. That in that rapidly changing world, in the 21st century, we can still gather here and hear pretty much the English version. You can find Cantonese and Mandarin, anything, any translation you want you can find now. But what Paul had expressed brought all those centuries forward, delivered right here. Isn't that extraordinary? That his understanding of what he'd learnt about the heart of rejoicing and the heart of community is still present to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the things he talks about, the depth of them, the character of them, are as real for the person who's the oldest in the room. And if Bill was here today, 99, for the oldest in the room, and right down to the youngest out with Judy out in the foyer, that the Lord's sense of gratitude and thankfulness is there available for all of us, from early primary school and kinder all the way through, to learn the new things. Jesus says something quite profound, a lot of things profound, what a stupid thing to say, John. Of the many profound things that Jesus says, he has a very small little parable of a few words. Now, two men build a house. One builds a house that's on sand. One builds a house that it's on rock. And when the storm hits and the waters rise, the house that's built on sand, you can't see it. It's just gone. But the house that's built on rock is the one that stands. I think about the mystery of this parable a lot, and there's probably lots of ways of turning it around like a diamond and finding lots of different things within it. The way I've come to think of it, particularly in Philippians 4, how it applies to that is, you know, the sand, I think, is often when we try to build our life from the outside with all the shiny things. The things that our culture has probably told us we all need, whether that's the house or the car or the business or the degree, whatever it might be that builds up the sense of significance. And they're not bad things. They're not terrible things. They're not worthless things. But they're on the outside. And I've met a lot of people over the years, usually when some of those things are taken away, who will say things like, I don't know where my life is. Everything I believed in is gone. I have absolutely nothing. And when you ask them, what is the absolutely nothing? It's because the externals have gone. The body fell apart, the house was burnt to the ground, the farm fell into ruin and they had to just walk out with a suitcase and start again. I mean, there's lots of stories of what happens when the outside goes. But Jesus says the rock part, when you build from the central place, the outside doesn't control you in the same way anymore. And I've met the people, and probably you have, and maybe if we had the chance to talk over tea and coffee, you'd discover the person beside you has done this. The person who was built from the inside, who knows that their significance comes because the Lord God, maker of heaven and earth, the Lord of everything seen and everything unseen, of every age, of every dimension you can imagine, the Lord of everything has said, you are so worthy that I'm sending my son for the world, for every generation, for every nation and tongue, but I'm sending my son also for you. And when that place of value is the bedrock of who you are, and you've done the work like Paul has done, you know, when people have run you out of town and threatened your life and spread the most unspeakable rumours about you, all that he could do was to learn to do the work, to go back to where is that rock? And so when he's encouraging the Philippian church and today encouraging the Doncaster church, he's taking the time to say, I know who you are. You love the Lord. But let's take that love to the furthest place that is possible, to the place where gratitude grows no matter what the outside is like. And it's not pretend. It's not putting on a happy smile and just thinking, oh, yeah, the Lord is good. No, it's the deepest place that says, I know the Lord is good. And even though the house is gone and even though my legs don't work, the Lord is the bedrock of my life. And it is so secure, that love and that hope, that no one can take it. So Paul thanks the church at Philippi and he says, you know, I have great thankfulness to you, not so much because of what you're giving me, but of the legacy of my deep love, that what you have given comes from deep sacrifice. And so Paul is grateful for a blanket. He's grateful to be remembered. He's grateful that people are praying for him. He's grateful to get a visit. He's grateful for the really little things because his life is not demanding that he has everything. It already does. The Lord God of all creation sent his son for me. I met him on the road to Damascus, and my life has been a poured out act of gratitude, the sacrifice of gratitude for what the Lord has done, and I'm pressing on. That's what I have learned, and he encourages us. I think what I've discovered around my own life of faith, and you can test it out for yourself, I think there's a difference between the bedrock of faith that allows you to keep, and this might sound like a strange word, but leaning into the things of God, to really lean into them, to anticipate, to pray, to hope, to let them flourish, rather than just taking the name. You know when Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't know what I say? There's something about only taking Jesus to the merest little hint of veneer, the little thing. And I don't mean these in a judging way when I say what I'm about to say now, not in a judging way. I don't even think it's a salvation issue. It's just a how are we maturing issue? How are we growing up issue? How are we going to be as we let ourselves, no matter what our age, to grow further into the riches of the things of God? Because I think in most churches, there's, I don't know what the percentage would be, maybe it's 20, 25, 30% of people who are highly sacrificial. They lean into the Lord so much that it's not just about giving money, they lean in with time, they lean in with prayer, they lean in with food parcels, they lean in with letters, they lean in, they pray, they celebrate the emerging generations, they say, well done, you know, that was rubbish, but I can see that there's something emerging here that I want to be in the cheer squad saying, I'm seeing where God is going and I'm leaning in to the future in the Lord, and that's where I want to be. And then there's probably like a larger group of people who do love the Lord, but it's Sunday by Sunday and I'm doing the things that that I know faithful people do. And there's nothing, don't hear me wrong, there's nothing wrong with that. But there's a big difference between the growing up into, the leaning into, and the little, almost a passing flirtation with the absolute depths of where the rock of faith actually is. I went to see my two little granddaughters playing sport yesterday. One has just started playing netball, and they're all little, like 8 and 9 year olds. Isabel is almost 13 in August, which I can't believe, and she's, you know, in the early stages of playing soccer. And so I look out on the fields and I think, there's a lot of work to be done, you know. And some of you have probably had that experience. From me, who can't play netball and would probably have a heart attack in the first 2 seconds of playing a soccer match, but it's always easy to be on the boundary line, having a bit of a look in and a bit of, well, that could be better, you know. Don't play with your hair. You know, get involved with the game. What are you doing? Don't hang back. No, no, no. Don't worry about your makeup. Hit the dirt. You know, it's easy from the boundaries to make all sorts of comments. And when I look at those little groups of people playing yesterday, I realise that for some of them, they will lean right in. And I already saw the signs. You know, Isabel's knee, she was goalie for the first part of the game, just completely covered in mud. She's, you know, gone for it. And I thought, oh my goodness, how extraordinary. That's the leaning in, to go for it. There will be mud. It will be messy. You will make mistakes. It will be awkward. It could be a broken nose or two or three. But you lean in because you love the acceleration and you know there's something about it that is important in your growing up. Faith runs a greater parallel than that. And that's where Paul is. So for Doncaster Church, to lean into gratitude, to lean into thanksgiving, to lean into building up is the way for us to continue to grow from generation to generation. Not so much about, it's not about numbers, it's about if there's no capacity to build that house on the rock, what the hell are you doing? Because the first storm that hits, even a little one, it's gone. Can't sustain itself. Let's pray. Lord God, we want to be people who are fit for the storm. We want to be people who are standing, praying with their heads raised at the end of the world. We want to be, Lord, the people who are cheering on the new generations who are emerging. We want to be the people, Lord, who have laid at the door somewhere all those petty complaints and the little things that get in the way, rather than holding to where the sustaining power of the rock, the foundation of all of life really is. So, Lord, I plead for such a fresh companionship with the power of the Holy Spirit that we would find ourselves moving, stepping, and in a complex century, in a complex world where people are demanding so many opinions about a billion things, Lord, that we can have a clear line of trust, a clear line of faith and understanding in the rock that is secure. Jesus Christ, Son of God, the one who was, who is to come. Help us, Lord, to open that bread and that cup every day. It's not easy. Sustain us by your power to learn, to become the mature of faith in such a way that the light is strong from our homes, from our lives, and from this hill. In Jesus' name, amen.